Blog Talk Radio.
Professor Applewhite, it's always good to hear you on the show. Always good to hear from the listeners. Hi, how are you?
Good morning, Danita Applewhite.
Professor Apple.
Oh, good morning.
This sounds like a familiar voice.
Yes.
Hello.
Professor Consuelo Astete. I'm so glad to be
here today. Professor Astete has taught at the University of Arizona and the South Mountain Community College, am I right? Hello?
Yes.
Yes, you've taught at the South Mountain Community College, and you've also taught courses at the University of Arizona.
Arizona
right.
State University.
Pardon me?
Arizona State University.
Arizona State University, right. I thought you were doing some things out at University of Arizona in Tucson.
Oh, yes. Yes, but mainly here in Phoenix, not in Tucson.
Right. Well, which one were you going to?
Right. And I have done also for University of Arizona.
Wonderful. All right, one moment, please. We have another caller online. Stay with us. Hello, caller. How are you? Good morning, caller. You're on air. This is Professor Applewhite. Good morning, 452.
Professor Consuelo Astete?
Yes, I have you, Professor Astete. I'm trying to get the other caller to just speak up there. The 482. Zero caller with 452. I just wanted you to say hello, but maybe it's okay. You just wanted to join the show and just listen for a little while. That is something that, hello? Good morning. Good morning. Hello, you said something just a moment ago. Hello, caller? Okay, well, I appreciate you being there, caller, and we'll continue with the show this morning. I just got to tell you, it's a beautiful, beautiful day here in Arizona. My heart goes out to those who are dealing with, there's a lot of background noise, so somebody is, a couple of people we have on the line, actually three people now, and I was just wondering if you could mute your phone. Or you could hang up now, and then I would not have that background, like dishes in the background, okay? So, anyway, I was just wondering if we could just praise God for the beautiful day that we have today, no matter where you are, whether you're dealing with the snow outside your window and you're waiting for the plow to come to take away the snow so you can get out to work and do other things, or whether or not you're in some sunshine like we are here in our headquarters for White Apple Institute. We're here in Arizona, and we're enjoying great weather here. People are actually in the swimming pool today. And so, you know, it's a really nice day for wherever you live, okay? You know, every place has its barriers. Isn't that right, Consuelo?
Yes, of course. It's a beautiful
day.
Everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful
day. You
know. And I'm sure the people that have the snow, they have the sun shining in their hearts.
That's right.
Isn't that right?
And some, sometimes that snow, the snow glistens. When the sun goes over the snow, have you ever seen that? And
yes,
it's like diamonds, like
yeah.
God just poured diamonds all over the snow, and it's so beautiful, isn't it? And then the children come out and they have their laughter.
Oh,
and it's the most marvelous. Yeah, they have their laughter. They're playing in the snow, and it's just unbelievable.
Yes,
the
have you played a snowman in the snow?
Oh, yes, I have.
It's been beautiful.
Yes, and you know what else I've done in the snow? See, here we are in Arizona talking about the snow, and I've done that angel thing. I've laid in the snow and moved my arms up and down, and been the angel. Have you ever done that one?
No.
No, you lay in the snow backwards on your back, and then you move your arms, both arms, up and down, and you make, like, wings, okay?
Oh.
And when you get up from it, it looks like you've made a snow angel.
Oh, how beautiful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we got snow angels and snowmen, and so we just want our friends, our listeners, and other parts of the country, of the United States, and of the world who are dealing with snow right now, to find that joy in the weather. You know, it is sometimes challenging when you have to get out and drive in it. But the reality is that every place has its really, really joyful parts, and then it might have a few months where you have to deal with something you don't want to deal with. Take, for instance, Seattle or Portland and all the rain that they receive. You know, some people think that's terrible. But the people that live there love it.
Yeah.
You know, and it leads into this Saturday's episode of When the Student is Ready, the Teacher Appears. And this is part 2 of 4 on self-assessment. And whenever you want to come into the conversation, Professor Consuelo Astete, you make sure you just make a noise to me or an indication by saying, excuse me, and I would let you talk and expand on what we're saying this morning. And we encourage other callers to call into us at 1-646-727-3758. So that we can expand our conversation and get more viewpoints.
Yes.
So the description of the show today is When the Student is Ready, the Teacher Appears, and we're doing part 2 of 4, which is self-assessment. Now, I just want to review that last week we left with talking about responsibility for ourselves, self-responsibility, and we also talked about the fact that change, the change in all of us of growing older, the change is inevitable. There's nothing you can do about change. But the actual growth, spiritual growth, if you wish to call it that, is optional. We have a choice on whether we want to grow spiritually. So this morning, we're going to the Sapa White Apple Institute. We'll discuss how basic needs, personal characteristics, what you hold personal to you, that only belongs to you, how your genes, even your genetic makeup, how your cultural environment, as well as your internal environment in your body, and how these skills of using all of these parts, these basic needs, knowing the basic needs that you have and personal characteristics will help you in understanding how these skills influence our behavior. So we have invited guests, as you are, Professor Pozuelo Sete, and invited guests to share your view about environmental or personality changes that you've seen in your students or just individuals that you know. So as we move forward and address things that over 11,000 listeners are now involved in, it's just beautiful the way this show is growing, and we thank all of you for participating in what we're doing. And we know that there are times when people do not want to go on air and do not want to talk on air, and that's okay. They just like to call in and listen. And Professor Acolyte will always understand that. But for those of you who are sitting at a computer and you don't want to go live on air, but you'd like to type something to us, you have a question for us, please make sure you go into our chat room and you log in there and register, and you can actually write a chat question or comment to me, and I will answer it, or someone here in the studio will answer it for you. So just remember that that's available. There's still some noise in the background from one of the callers. Okay, now, so the chat room is up and running. Oh, my goodness. If somebody could cut out that background noise there. Sounds like something's scraping. So maybe until they want to talk, they could put it on mute or move the phone away from any noise that's there. Okay, well, listen, I'm excited about this. I'm excited about talking about basic needs, and I always am, because most people are not aware of what their basic needs are. They're always getting them confused with what they want. And a lot of times I hear my students saying, well, what's the difference between what you need and what you want? I do. I want a new car, but I need a new car, too. Well, no, hold on a minute. We don't need a new car. We want a new car. But we do need a means of transportation to get back and forth. And so we need to keep that in mind, is that what you're expressing is that you need transportation. But you don't need a new car. Is that clear? Does that make sense? I think that makes sense to most people, is that we need to categorize how we, whether or not we say it in prayer or whether or not we visualize our goals and set our goals that way, but that we're realistic in the way that we do this so that we can truly assess our needs. We have to do a whole assessment on ourselves. An assessment means that we look at ourselves in the mirror, or we just simply close our eyes and reflect on ourselves internally. And we talk to ourselves, and we nurture ourselves without being afraid that someone might walk in and say, what are you doing, talking to yourself? Well, a great answer would be, no, I'm not talking to myself. I'm visualizing my goals and repeating them in my mind so I'll remember them. And that's exciting when you think about somebody doing that, doing a real self-assessment. Think about how we sometimes compare ourselves and our characteristics to other people. We talked a little bit about that last week, about this desire to always be at this betterness of other people. And we looked at what Rick Warren had to say in the Purpose-Driven Life, and we thank him very much for this statement. He said that we wish to be, most of us wish to be God. And the first thing that came out of my mind is, no, I do not wish to be God when I read that. But, you know, there are times when all of us wish to be God, and that means that we are looking at the characteristics of other people and saying, I wish I had a mouth like her. I wish I had a nose like her. These are possible, but you have to survive the risk, and there are risks involved with your faith in doing this and your body, because they have to put you up and they have to put you under when you're in a chair. And they're performing any type of surgery on you. Surgery means you go to sleep so that you don't hear or feel any of the cutting or moving or stitching of what they're going to do to your face to change it. Change it to what? Change it to what you want, not what you need, to what you want. Okay? I spoke to you about a young man who was suffering from the dilemma. That's one of the things I guess we could say about men. We can't give up on them and their desire to look up makeup looks. This is more than a makeup book, isn't it? This is one of the books that I use in the show a lot is Working at Human Relations by Dr. Rosemary Cooling. And Dr. Cooling has a PhD in psychology, and she's a therapist, and she writes with Neld Oldman. And Neld Oldman was, when at the time of writing Working at Human Relations, he was her internship, actually, her intern. And the beautiful thing about working with somebody under an internship is you get this mentoring that you normally wouldn't get if you were totally responsible for everything that you were doing. You know, I've known a lot of students who've compared themselves to other people, and it's never, ever worked. Because there's always going to be someone greater or lesser than you are. It never, ever fails. So the best we can do is compare ourselves to ourselves. So I don't see anything wrong with getting out on the dance floor with you, with just you. Have you ever done that? Think about it. When is the last time you danced just with you or danced with God? Think about that for a minute. To just quietly dance and let God hold you. Imagine that. And the great feeling that would come from that. Well, boy, when we look at some people and their families, I know a student once, let's call him John, and he was always comparing not only his personal characteristics with his friends, but his family to his friends' families. And he was always looked at as the black sheep of the family. No pun intended about black, but he was looked at it that way. And he loaded up all kinds of things about this family so that he had a breakthrough, a chance to move things off of himself and give somebody else the blame. Oh, it's my mother's fault because she did this. My father's fault because he did that. So all the family is called in, and especially if he's in school, and he's looked at as the black sheep of the family, and that automatically carries into the school atmosphere. And so everybody's sitting there in the counselor's office waiting to be heard. And this kid is in serious trouble. Because this is going on for a very, very long time. And everybody's sick of it, of the way that he acts, his characteristics, knows he needs to make a change. He just doesn't know how. And he keeps comparing himself to others. But you know what? He realizes that even though everybody else in his family excelled in school, they went to the top, professor and other listeners out there. They went to the top of their classes, and everyone especially loved art. And he wasn't very fond of art. I mean, he felt it was okay, but it wasn't anything that you could really ask him questions about. He didn't want to talk about it. He enjoyed, instead of, you know, his family was one who, they went to a very loud church. And some people practice at a very loud church. But again, his personal characteristics were that he wanted a quiet environment. So he took a path of Buddhahood. So he is now practicing peaceful ceremonies of Buddhism versus his family, who wants to go to church with the loud singing, the drums, the guitars in the back, and he doesn't like that. So here you see a big clash in the family, and you see this young man, John, having a big clash at school because he doesn't participate with other children his age in their activities. So I think it's coming to a head now when I'm sitting in the meeting, and I'm glad for that. But for the first time, John's going to hear some really heartfelt opinions about himself, and hopefully that's going to help him. Sometimes we need that too. Think about that, listeners. Sometimes we need someone to help us do our self-assessment, to point out things to us, and not hold them back and say, oh, I don't want to tell you because I didn't want to hurt your feelings. Hurt their feelings. The truth is better than waiting and waiting and then having to hurt their feelings way after the fact. And they get very, very upset about that. If you know a circumstance like that, please share it. Anybody have anything to say? So I've got three callers online, and like I said, we're running over. We're running towards 12,000 listeners now. And we're excited about that. And I'm really looking forward to hearing from you as soon as you put up enough to hear the show. I promise you, for every call that you make, every person that you bring on the show, that there'll be a great reward for you and that person. Well, let's get back to comparing these characteristics and encouraging John to do a self-assessment. And by that we mean that we want to encourage him to look at himself and to stop blaming his family for the way he is and accept that he's a good person too. And he has his talents and skills to share with other people that are interested in his talents and skills. Many times you find people that have different skills, different characteristics, and it's almost like they want to beat you up over the head for you to accept their way of life. Well, I don't want to do that. I don't want anyone to try to change me, and I don't want to change anybody. I just want everything to go smoothly as it can in my life. You only have a short one. That's what I mean. We have a very short life. And Professor Apple is going to take a short break for a minute, and I will be right back. are back at the Student to Teacher to Student Show. Thank you so much for hanging in there. We've got some new callers online. Hello, caller. You're on air. Okay. And we still have Professor Consuelo Estete online with us from the Arizona State University?
Yes.
Yes, wonderful. And so we really welcome her, and we're talking about now how we do a self-assessment of our own characteristics. So looking at what builds our character, who we are. And, you know, I speak about this often, and I talk about looking in the mirror at yourself. And when you look in the mirror at yourself, looking at your eyes, looking at your face, looking at your ears, looking at everything about you, and appreciating the good things about you. And so many people, when they do that, they write me some very interesting things. But I'd say the majority of them, Professor Estete, is that they don't like themselves. Most people do not like themselves. And so if you don't like yourself, how can you expect other people to like you? Genuinely like you. I mean, people will use cliches and say, oh, you're a nice person. Hi, you're my friend. How are you? But when it really comes down to asking somebody, why do you really like me? What is this all about? They can't tell you because they really haven't assessed, that means looked at and evaluated themselves. If we're always going to compare ourselves to others, we'll never be able to move up that ladder to success. Everything will always be a step ahead of us. So let's, for a moment, pretend that we are totally out of problems. Totally out of problems. We have no problems in the world to deal with. And for the next 15 minutes, I'd like to take your time and run through an exercise with you and see how you feel after the exercise. And again, like I said, for those of you who wish to chat, I'm checking the chat line right now to see if anybody is online. And last week, I had someone come in at the last minute of the chat line, and I'm really sorry to say I didn't catch you. I did write back to you, but it was too late. Okay? Here we have a message from Mentor Man, Nazim Rashid, who is calling in, one of our board members, who's calling in to say that we have a better connection this week, and I dance all the time by myself. And in the shower, he dances. Down the hall, he dances. In the kitchen and in my mind. He says, I keep the archetype of Snoopy in my mind. He is always happy and dancing all by myself, all by himself. That's a very nice statement, and thank you very much for joining us by chat, Nazim Rashid. You must be very busy this morning preparing for your show that follows the Student to Teacher show and at 11 o'clock, 11 to 12 Arizona time. It's called Mentor Man, blogtalkradio.com/ Mentor Man, and you'll find him there online. So let's get back to talking a little bit more about John. I was giving you a case study or just introducing you to someone who thinks of himself as a black sheep and because he's always comparing himself to his family and friends, and he never gets out of this thing of trying so hard to convince people that he's okay. Why do we have to do that? We see some similarities in John. All of us can pick up some, okay? You know, I talked to you about the church issue and that he prefers a more quiet environment versus a more louder environment, let's say, okay? And he finally found out something, and we're going to get to that because you're going to find it out, too, when you're going through this about yourself. What does it take for you to really feel good about yourself? What does it take? Professor, do you have any ideas, Professor Consuelo Estete, What does it take to feel good about yourself?
You know, I'm thinking about it, and I really don't, because I do feel good about myself, but I don't remember how I arrived to that conclusion. And of course, it's been quite a few years now that I'm very satisfied and very happy about myself. Of course, once in a while, you know, all of us probably have some regrets about some things that we wish, you know, we could change. But in general, I really can't think of anything specifically at this moment. Maybe you can enlighten me.
You know, I've spoken a lot about a switch, like a click that goes on in our being. Okay, we're going through life, and all of a sudden we come across something that we read, or we go to a meeting, sometimes a church, and a light goes on inside of us, and I call it the click. The click happens. And that's why I can't give up on anybody. I just can't give up on a person who's trying to do something with their life. Because we never know how it's going to turn out for them. That doesn't mean now that we have to be involved in their bad stuff. Because if somebody's doing stuff that's destructive, we don't want to be involved in that. But we can take ourselves out of that person's environment and observe them from afar and not let them disturb our life and still pray for them and encourage them to keep going. But it's only after that click happens within us that we actually say, you know what? I do love myself. Just like you were saying a moment ago. I do love myself. I don't know when it happened that I started to do it, but I do love myself. But I can tell you, it happened, and it must have happened a long time ago because you don't remember it. But it was true. Because look at you now. Look where you're at now. And as a teacher yourself, your students pick up your attitude about life. Your students pick up your positive attitude of saying, I do love myself. And even though you don't say that, you might not say that in front of the classroom, they can feel it in you. They look at you, Professor Estete, and they know there's something different about this professor, the way she's so committed. I know you personally and know that you're very committed to your students' learning, especially Spanish or English. You know, your commitment goes way above the call of duty. And those of us that are out here that are good teachers, that do share our lives with our students to a certain extent, of course, our professional lives, know what I'm talking about. And they praise you like I do. They applaud you.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for accepting that. And again, we thank Nadine for his comment, and I just sent a thank you back to him for that from us, that he understands what we're talking about. Because when you're able to dance, whether it's in your head or whether it's, you know, with one foot or, you know, whether you're disabled in a wheelchair, and be careful because that word disabled can get you all messed up there. We're not talking about you're not able like everybody else, but you have lost one ability but gained another ability, okay? So that we need to be grateful for. And sometimes we have to help people to look for that other ability, just like we have to help everyone, because everyone has something that they're not, that they have limitations on. I've never met anyone that didn't have a limitation. So if there's anyone out there in this big, wide world, because our show is broadcast internationally, across the globe. If you know someone that comes into this world with no limitations, and 100% of all their abilities. Please call me so we can make some great money together. Because it would be great money. Because there is no such thing as the perfect person. And people will say to me, well, Jesus was perfect. Well, we're not talking about the spiritual part of Jesus or the spiritual part of anyone that is looking to follow God. Because we can't make a judgment about where they're at with that. But by their actions, we can say, whoa, that person has a good attitude. That person really likes themselves. And I'm going to say, in addition to that, as an educational psychologist, I'm going to come back and say, in addition to that, they do a self-assessment. They assess themselves, probably daily. When they get up in the morning or they're laying there and their alarm's going off, and some mornings they awaken and they're a little angry because they don't want to get up. We all get that way. But I still see this roll-up-the-sleeves attitude that they still strive to lay there and assess, to look at why they don't want to get up, and they make a decision. I'm going to get up, and I'm going to go to work. I'm going to get up, and I'm going to go to school. Or I'm going to get up, and I'm just going to do something that's productive today. If I can't move my arms or my legs, I can get on the phone and call somebody and encourage them. And that's an important thing. Gosh, sometimes, Professor Estepe, I believe that that's more important than going to work or,
exactly.
or going to school.
Yes, definitely.
You know?
You're helping someone else. I mean, helping
mm-hmm.
someone else, helping yourself. And
mm-hmm.
you're feeling good
mm-hmm.
that you did something worthy.
Exactly. I mean, I feel good. Most of the time, I feel good. But there are those mornings that I have to turn around and respect myself. And that's going back to John, that student John I told you about, and how he's always comparing himself to others. What we did as a team is we worked out a way for John to start looking at himself, to assess himself, and to stop worrying about whether his family understands his right or his choice to be in a more peaceful environment, to serve God, whatever he calls God. Because I can't do a judgment on him, and neither can you or anybody else. But we know one thing. We know that he needs to look at himself. And by looking at himself, he will come to a conclusion that says, okay, I'm a good person. I've achieved some things in my life. I feel good about my accomplishments. Well, what have I accomplished? Well, and they'll say, I don't know. And I'll come back and I'll say, John, did you ever win an award for attendance? Oh, yeah, I did. But it was way back in kindergarten, like, I don't know, early years. I said, but it's still important. If you have a certificate, it's important enough to put up on the wall. Anything that you have. Oh, yeah, well, I got something from my job once, you know, that I had a high score in this area. Well, let's use that, John. And so when John started really assessing what he is and what he does, then he started feeling better about himself as an individual. And he was able to go to his family, Professor, and all of our listeners out there, he was able to go to his family and say, this is me. Listen, this is me. This is what I like. It doesn't mean I don't like what you like. I think it's great. I respect your choices. Now I just want you to respect mine. And when he started doing that, all things opened up for him. And it's like that saying, and I know you can relate to this, if you don't love yourself, how can you love anyone else? Any comments?
Why is that number? Can you explain it, Professor Apple? How is it that a person who doesn't love himself cannot love others? What is the dynamics involved in that?
The dynamics of loving yourself is number one. You've got to know who you are. And that goes back to that self-assessment. And it goes back to something very, very deep inside of you that no one else can relate to but you and God, your creator. And that's just what we're doing in parts 1 through 4. Of when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Let me tell you a little bit about that. If you agree with me that all of us are students, do you agree to that?
Yes.
All of us are students, and
yes,
teachers are especially lifelong learners. We love learning. We get excited about learning new things and sharing them, and that's what makes us teachers. But when the student is ready, the teacher appears is not a statement about the academic teacher. Ah. It's a teacher that's inside of you, an internal teacher. And that internal or spiritual teacher that's within us, such as John's internal teacher, tells him things about himself that nobody knows, personal things that he's never told anybody else, that no one has ever noticed about him. But you can't hide who you are from the Heavenly Father. You can't hide who you are. It's like you have a constant videotape going all the time of your life, of your personal life. So when the student is ready and saying, okay, I'm ready to learn, I'm ready to grow, then the internal teacher inside appears and says, okay, Consuelo Estete, okay, Danita Applewhite, okay, John, now the teacher will appear and show you the way. But you must allow that teacher to appear. And that's why we're using the term, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Does that make sense?
I never knew what that meant. This is the first time that I've heard that explanation.
Mm-hmm.
It always seems very mysterious to me. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. I
mm-hmm.
had a different interpretation, but I think
sure.
this is very interesting.
Sure.
This interpretation is very, very profound.
You probably thought of the classroom, like most people do. They think of the classroom, that when the student's ready to learn in the classroom, then they'll allow the teacher to teach them.
Well, I thought of it a little bit differently. I thought it meant that when the student has decided that he is going to be coached, that he's coachable,
mm-hmm.
he has decided, then he can take advantage of what the teachers, different teachers around him, are
mm-hmm.
trying to teach him. Because
yes.
he's ready to absorb the learning because he has made a decision that he's going
right.
to learn. So that's what it meant. But the teacher was outside of him, in my interpretation,
right.
not inside of him.
Yes, right. See, and so here we go with the principle of White Apple Institute. We deal with the student at 40 and 50 years old okay? And some of them are 19 and 20, but I'm saying we deal with a lot of middle-aged students.
Uh-huh.
They need to wake up. They need to wake up the Buddha within, which just means awareness and enlightenment, or wake up their relationship with God within, because they've been sleeping, and that's why they are not going to school and doing something productive in their life and looking at ways to blame their family and their friends for how they are, looking at ways to always compare themselves to others and feeling bad. It's because before you can get to that external teacher, before
uh-huh.
you can get to the classroom, you have to already have that initial push, that personal boost. And that personal boost comes from a place, I don't know where it comes from, but it's there. And it's in every baby's eyes. Every baby's eyes.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
beautiful.
If you look at the way they play, huh? What was
beautiful.
That?
Very beautiful explanation.
Thank you. I'm glad you like that, because every baby's eyes has that look in it. And until they get about 4 or 5 years old and they start living under the influence of other people, they have that feeling tone of being accomplished. And they can tell you, say, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they can tell you in a minute, less than a minute, in just a few seconds, they can say, I want to be a fireman. I want to be a doctor, you know, knowing that that impresses their parents, but later on in life realizing that everybody can't be a doctor and everybody can't be a lawyer. But they get that later on.
Mm.
After they do a number of assessments, not just a self-assessment. And, you know, there's a lot of workshops out there that talk about come to this workshop and pay $1,500 for a weekend in San Diego or whatever. Okay, and those are beautiful, and we appreciate those. They have their meaning and purpose, okay? But there are many people who cannot afford to go on those types of trips. So where do they go? What do? White Apple Institute brings that same information from those workshops, from those groups, into our curriculum to help people teach themselves and become knowledgeable about the internal teacher and wake that internal teacher up. The teacher's been there. And when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And so for each section, we have 4 sections of this. Next week we'll be talking about respect yourself. As part of when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And then the last one you really don't want to miss, because it's a culmination of the other 3 sessions that we've had, and we've got some really great guests coming on that have committed to come on for that particular show. But I'm so glad that you appreciate the simplicity of the way I've described the student-teacher relationship with yourself, and then moving into having an external teacher. And would you say, because you've traveled a lot around the world, would you say that pretty much most of the things that you've heard on the show are pretty much global attitudes?
Yes, certainly. Yes, they are.
I hope so. I hope so. Because we try to keep it really basic, based on
yes.
just human nature.
Yes. Yes. The simplicity is remarkable.
The
very difficult
simplicity.
To accomplish that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is very difficult to accomplish simplicity. The
yes.
word simple sounds like it would be simple, but it's really not. And this is really one wonderful feature of your show, and the simplicity, and to be able to to reach as many people as possible because there is such a need. And so it's very beautiful to listen to this show. And I do encourage people to bring others to listen to this Saturday morning with Apple White Institute and Professor Danita Apple White.
Well, thank you. And you know, because you've seen a lot of the students through the years come through the doors of White Apple Institute, and now, of course, we don't have doors. We're an online institute where all of our interactions with students are about, learning online. They have to have a computer in order to do that. And sometimes we have to provide the computer or show them resources. But, you know, one of the things that I find is that everybody has the same five basic needs, everyone. We want to feel that we are safe. We want to feel safe. We want to feel like there's shelter around us. We seek that. And God bless some of the people in Haiti right now that are suffering because of political intervention. Nobody's talking about the politics and how that has influenced the economics of all the millions of dollars that were poured in there during their first disaster and their second disaster, from the earthquake to the malaria, and the lack of housing for people. But the bottom line is, before I go off track here, is that we seek shelter. What else? We seek something to eat. That's the next thing we're going to look for. It's something to fill our bellies with. And what's the next thing? We need to be involved in making sure that we're safe and secure where we are, that nothing's going to attack us or hurt us. And we need to have that ability to feel a sense of belonging to other people, to other things. And now those are the things that a great psychologist, a humanist, came up with by the name of Abraham Maslow. And we appreciate his work on that. But I have, in addition to that, he puts another take on it, that once you get the basic needs met, then you can reach other levels of setting your goals, of, he calls it self-actualization, of actualizing or seeing yourself in relationship to other people and seeing yourself in a positive light. Being able to dance and sing, like we were talking about, like Nazine shared with us a moment ago, how important it is to have that feeling tone. And we have another chat person coming on now that's saying thank you for the show. And they're saying the same thing you were saying, Professor Consuelo. They're saying that they appreciate the definition of the show, because they didn't get the definition of the show when they just looked at the title. So we appreciate that you're listening out there, and those of you that are using the chat room, that it's a good experience for you and that you are being enlightened, and maybe your click is going on. You've got the click, and it just puts all this light inside of you. So we want you to stay alive. We want you to make sure you have shelter and food and respect and a sense of belonging and a real need to realize your potential to reach the top, okay, without anxiety and fear. And that's so important. So we hope that this particular part has helped you a lot. Now, we also want to talk a little bit before our show ends here, and I'll tell you in a moment how many minutes we have left. another caller that said they were calling in this morning from California, and they wanted to discuss this, so we'll see how many people call. And we have 4 minutes remaining, so if anyone is going to call, and they need to do that now on the show. Boy, time went fast, didn't it? The time went very fast, didn't it? Is there anything really special that you would like to say to your students? You teach Spanish and English courses, and I know you teach a lot of body language, right? And yes. Hand gestures and eye contact and personal appearance, I bet you even teach. Attitude?
Attitude.
You teach attitude also?
Well, not directly, but the students absorb that from the teacher's attitude, a positive, non-judgmental, loving attitude.
So you model it.
Yes. And it encourages students to have faith in themselves. Because some of them say they don't think they can learn. I have students like that want to learn English, but they don't think they are capable. And so we have to encourage them to have faith and to go through this course that you're teaching, Professor Applewhite. Yes.
Wow. That's a tremendous challenge that you have because, I'm just remembering myself as you and I have taught together, team teaching. And you're right. There is a real challenge and just as we were talking about, is when the student appears, when the student is ready to really learn English, not just say, I want to learn English, not just do it for somebody else or for a job. They've got to really want to do it for themselves.
Exactly.
And until that's that internal teacher talking.
Yes.
The inside. And they make a decision to step into your classroom. Now you take over as the external teacher to give them some ideas about how they can improve themselves. That includes a lot more than putting up a word on the board. You can put vocabulary up on the board all day long. You can talk about grammar all day long. But until that student is ready to accept that, oh, wow, she's talking about more than just the vocabulary. She's talking about my attitude, something very personal to me. It changes that individual, and it enlightens them. And we thank you so much for being the kind of teacher you are and the kind of student that you are.
Thank you.
Did you hear that, Mark? Yes, you're a great student, a lifelong student.
Thank you.
A lifelong student and a lifelong teacher. Our audience out there, we appreciate you so much for joining us this morning, and we wish you much love and much peace, and just keep on listening to the show. The greatest thing about Internet radio is your ability to go on and listen to this show. If you missed part of it or you just want to hear it again or share it with a friend, only thing you have to do is log in. You just log in to blogtalkradio.com and put in student to teacher, and you will come on to the show page that actually shares how you push the button and can listen to the show again and again and other shows. So, again, we'll see you next Saturday. We love you. And we wish you peace. Take care now. Thank you for joining us, Professor Estete from the Arizona State University.